With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Bridge Street Capital Partners is a Sydney-based corporate advisory firm that specialises in equity capital market transactions for small cap companies listed on the ASX, primarily in the mining, energy and tech sectors. If you are a Section 708 sophisticated investor and would like to be on Bridge Street's distribution list for their upcoming capital raises, please send them your details via an email to invest@bridgestreetcapital.com.au and mention the BIP show in your message. Now on with the show. How are you now? Broadcasting from the VFS studios at Northbridge, Sydney, you are listening to the all-new BIP Show, Season 4, Episode 11, maybe 12, I don't know. Don't forget to hit subscribe and rate us wherever you get your podcasts. And a reminder that all the financial information in this podcast is general in nature only. Speak to a professional advisor about your needs. Coincidentally, that is what I do. My name is James Whelan, Investment Manager at VFS Group, and I will be your host today. This episode is being recorded in Sydney at 9:40 a.m. on the 13th of May, 2022 AD. Also, coincidentally, my birthday. So happy birthday to me. I'm going to get this out of the way nice and early. Didn't want to do it in the afternoon. It's going to be a few beers. I do apologize for the noise in the background. There is some building work that is actually going on nearby, which is not great for the recording of podcasts, but it's fantastic for, I guess, the GDP. It shows that people are working, things are still ticking over. However, the market, not so much ticking over, and I'm still in the mindset of not looking at the exact specifics day to day. You will do your head in looking at individual numbers. If I could give you a few tips on that one. Inflation seems to be maybe, I do think it has peaked exactly where it is. I think it will come back to being somewhere that's maybe a little bit less nonsensical. It will still be high. Markets will respond to that. All portfolios across the board, good portfolios and bad portfolios, don't look as good as they should. I think that considering mine, I've got a pretty robust portfolio that's good. It's defensive. It has the quality. It has value. It has commodities in it, and even that's getting beaten up as well. We're now in redemption season, as Chris Weston mentioned last week. So we're seeing liquidations and we're seeing fund flow coming out of the market. So even the good companies are getting dumped, which means that there is value out there and there is opportunities out there in this market too. There you go. That is my little run, my pre-spiel on that one. Stay the course. What I've noticed, I'm trying to stay away from the actual specifics of the market in an episode today. I am joined here by Karim Nijem. I know I got that right. That's fantastic. Karim Nijem, CEO of ActivePort. Now, he was recommended to me from a colleague who wanted, I wanted to talk about tech pre-COVID, post-COVID, where the cloud space has moved, where the tech space has moved, because it's easy for us to look at the companies that are in it. We look at Google. I'm long and strong on Google. It's easy to look at Google and say, yes, okay, we'll take that. But I don't actually go into the nuts and bolts of what's actually underlying it. And that is that's something that we need to get into today. Sorry, my mouse has actually just stopped working. This is fantastic. Whoever wanted to stop ticking over. Now, let's get right into it, Karim. First off, thank you for helping me take the mind off the exact markets on this one. Let's get into the tech space. How are you now, Karim?
Yeah, good, James. Good morning. I have a slightly different apology to yours. You've got building work going on. Myself and my wife decided to take a bit of time out of Sydney. We're on our holidays. We're working, but I'm in rural South Australia, and there's a whole bunch of birds decided to start having a party in some of the trees outside. So to complement your sort of mechanical noises, you might hear some tweeting and chirping and things going on in the background here. So my apologies for that. But, James, happy birthday.
Thank you.
And well done. As you said at your opening, it's just before 10 o'clock on a Friday morning. You've done well to get back into it. It's early, and I hope you have a good day for the rest of the day.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. Now, the reason why I can record here so easily at home, and I am in my home, and not have to go into the office to do this or have to wait to see you in person, Kerim, is because of the incredible speed that happened. And it does feel like it feels like a lifetime ago, but the move for how quickly things became accessible online to be able to tap and go. For example, I'm using to record this podcast, I'm using a program called Ali 2, which is fantastic. They charge you a set subscription, and I can record up to five people at a time, and all they need is a laptop and a microphone, and they just dial in and they can just do it. And then I can edit everything that was there. A little while ago, that wasn't anything that was even possible. And I would like to say just how phenomenal, when we were doing the, Karen, we did the Christmas podcast at the end of 2020, so the pandemic year. And people were talking about what they thought was the most phenomenal thing for mine. And mine was, and this is, I used to run a business continuity plan 1,000 years ago. So I know about disaster recovery. I know about being able to make sure that you've got good programs and good features and good safety measures behind what it is that you do in running a business. And I was astounded at how quickly IT departments managed to get entire companies to be able to work remotely within the drop of a hat after being told for so long that it wasn't going to be possible to do that.
Absolutely.
What happened? What made it so possible at that particular time?
There's a lot of ways that we can talk about that, but it's really interesting to look back, you know, probably 3 years, 2 years, and there's two things that I'll say in there. I have been through a seed capital raise, a pre-IPO capital raise, an IPO capital raise, and I have never given a presentation in a boardroom or directly face-to-face with an investor. And I've now given somewhere between 130 and 140 presentations.
That's phenomenal.
Similarly, we've got a bunch of suppliers around the world we deal with and help some of our partners out. And one of our key suppliers is US-based, and I was absolutely certain the fellow I was talking to was in the US. And we were having a call one day on video, and I said to him, "It's light outside." And he looked at me as if I was crazy. And I said, "Aren't you in North America?" He said, "I'm in Melbourne." But, right. And so what this has meant is the video is the first piece, that you can actually do business anywhere in the world, anytime, by a video now, and everybody is doing it that way. It's facilitated by a few things. Internet speed, and that's one of the main things. 5G, the world's internet speeds have increased over the course of the last 10 years, which makes this sort of thing possible. You know, running a video with 20 people on a call was impossible 5 years ago. And so now internet speeds make it possible. The other thing, and you talked about the software you're using, it's cloud-based. It's software as a service. And one of the huge transitions that's been occurring over the last 10 years is companies saying, okay, I can have a big data center with lots and lots and lots and lots of servers running all of my software, but is there a better way to do it? And can I use somebody else's capability to do that? And that's why Amazon and these people, Google and others, have been so hugely successful over the last 10 years with cloud services, is because the compute is now somewhere else and available from the whole world. You're now no longer geographically sort of bound. The last point on COVID is, nothing moves technology and IT departments faster than a crisis. I've worked in IT and telecommunications now for over 25 years. It can take 6 months to run a project to deliver something simple, or a week for IT and technology departments to move heaven and earth, and they rally. And that's exactly what everyone saw. So let's get the technology to do exactly what we need it to do and make this all work. But facilitated by speed on the internet, but particularly cloud and the availability of services anywhere, anytime.
That's a really good overview about the exact features behind it. Now, an investment that I had, and I was loud and proud on this, I'll own the things that I get wrong. The metaverse was a big investment of mine last year. And obviously the way the state of the market and the way that things are being revalued, the investing in metaverse stocks, not super amazing. But then I was thinking, maybe the best angle of doing it, and I'm going a little bit off piece on this one, so stick with me, Karim. Digital infrastructure I saw as potentially being the place where you'd want to land your money and have it there because of the requirement. Like you said, internet speeds are up, but with everything going to the cloud and everything going virtual eventually, as they say that it's going to go virtual, whatever the hell the metaverse actually is and decides to be at the time, hopefully Facebook don't actually own it because it'll be awful. But the digital infrastructure, is there more of a demand for the actual box and dice stuff, like physical stuff that's behind that underlies this market?
Digital
infrastructure. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, no, I get what you're getting at.
Yeah.
A couple of things to say there. The sale of boxes and technology that support all of this is now heavily, heavily commoditized and heavily, heavily competitive. And so what Intel and AMD, the chip manufacturers, and the manufacturers like Dell and others are constantly trying to do is pack as much power, compute power, into as small a place as possible. And so that's what's happening, is that the cost is being driven down, and it's a technology race. It's a race for speed, and it's a race for making everything as small as possible so you can pack as much in. I don't feel in a position to say, hey, look, there's something in there from a hardware perspective. However, what you don't care about, and the vast majority of people on this listening to this podcast don't care about, is how the technology actually works. What you do care about is what you do with it. The problem it solves for you, and the advantages it provides. So from a consumer perspective, if you look at something like a smartphone, an iPhone, what's it doing for you? What it does is it provides you a way to check the weather, send an email, pay a bill, do your banking, all of those great apps, all in one place really easily. Mm. That's the service it provides you. That's the problem it's solving. So I believe that there is value in what the technology does, not the underlying technology itself.
Okay.
So you don't buy a phone because you want a phone. You buy a phone because you want to make a phone call or you want to check the weather, as I was saying.
Yep.
So when you talk about things like metaverses and virtual environments, one of the things that you learn as a technology executive over 25 years is just because you can do it doesn't mean somebody's interested in buying it, right?
So
you've got to be careful. When people talk about metaverses and the virtual world, as long as it solves a problem for an individual or a business, it'll go great guns. If it is technology for technology's sake, everyone will shrug their shoulders and say, that's a really cool, bright, shiny thing. What the hell do I do with it?
You can't force it.
Yeah. And so it's about solving the problem. Technology is purely and simply about solving a problem for a customer. And every technology that's been successful, whether it's cloud or whether it's smartphones or whether it's Amazon, solves a problem.
Well, keep on going.
That's where all technology success lives, is there was a problem to be solved. Either people knew they had it or they didn't. Someone said, this is absolutely brilliant. This makes my life better, improves my business, saves some money, improves the customer experience by doing X, Y, and Z. I want one. And that's at the heart of everything technological, is from the time of making a phone call to the time of sending a text message to the time of Facebook, it solves a problem.
Yeah. Let's see if we can make people money then. What's the next problem that needs to be solved?
Making everything as simple as possible.
Yep, so it's continuing to do that sort of thing.
Yeah, and so if we look over the last 10 or 15 years, And let me use two examples of that. I've already talked about smartphones. They're very cool. They're very pretty. They're very funky. They've got great cameras. But what do they do? We've already talked about that. You can do so much of your life on a smartphone. You can communicate with friends. You can do your banking. You can buy insurance. You can check the weather. You can talk to a friend of yours who's driving down an autobahn at 200 kilometers an hour just outside Berlin. You can do anything with them. They solve the problem. Similarly, if we go back, say, 10 or 15 years, and let's say, James, you were getting ready for a party for your birthday this afternoon, and or maybe you're a week ago, you did this to allow some delivery time, and you thought, look, I need to look pretty schmick. I'm going to get myself a new outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 10 years ago, you would have driven to a Westfield and went and bought shoes and socks and a new pair of jeans and a really cool shirt and a really cool jacket and whatever you needed to look great. But you went from shop to shop. You went to the shops. You went from shop to shop. You looked around. You did what you needed to do, but you went to six or seven places in order to do it. With Amazon, you sit down at a screen and you go, right, what do I want? Well, I want those shoes and I want those jeans and I want that shirt and I want that jacket. Go. And depending upon where you are, and depending upon its availability, this stuff can be with you in 36 hours and you didn't leave your seat. That is what's going to happen from a technology perspective for the next 5 to 10 years. It'll be made more and more simplified, more and more automated. So the user, whether it's an individual wanting to buy a new outfit or talk to their Facebook friends, or a company that just wants to run their architecture firm. They don't care about international connectivity. They don't care about connecting to the cloud. They want to use it. So over the next 5 years, you'll see more and more simplification and more software appearing to make your life easier, exactly like Alutu, exactly the way it's happened with smartphones, exactly the way it's happened with Amazon, but it'll happen in telecommunications to the point where you can build a network between Dallas and Sydney and Japan by sitting at one screen, clicking on some icons and hitting go, and you'll have a network in seconds. And that's what ActivePort does.
Ah, okay. So now let's get straight into it. I've got there's a question that I have for every single person that comes and sits in front of me, myself as an investment manager in the job that I do. So if they're asking for money, if they're doing a raise, it's often followed up by a different question. But straight up, what do you do and how do you make money?
We do several things, all focused at making connectivity, whether it's across a city, across a country, or across the world, simple. So whether it is helping companies build networks, helping companies integrate with the cloud, helping companies take complexity and cost out of managing their infrastructure, we're there, like the examples I gave before, to say, right, if you deal with ActivePort, if you use ActivePort software, you can use one screen to build networks, to build connectivity, to coordinate all your tech, and to integrate from the cloud by clicking on the items you need and making them hang together. Now, the way we make money out of doing that is we sell our software from a networking perspective. We sell SD-WAN software, which is a fancy name for software that manages and creates networks.
Go on. So this is SDWAN, if anyone's
software SD-WAN. Defined wide area networking.
What is that?
Yeah, so what the hell does that mean? So if you go back, and even now, if you want to build a net, you want to build a link, you want to open an office in Brisbane, an office in Sydney, you can call one of the big telcos and explain to them what you want to do, and they'll take 3 or 4 weeks to go through their process, and then if you're lucky, they'll deliver it on time. But I think we've all had an experience sometimes when the delivery from some of the big telcos isn't on time. And so sometime in a period of weeks into the future, you'll get your special link. It'll cost a certain price whether you use it or not, and you'll connect two offices. Using software-defined networking, what you can do is use the internet and or some other you know, specific services provided by a telco, but you can use the internet and go, right, I want to connect from Brisbane to Sydney. There are the two devices. There are the two little boxes at either end. Go. And when we do our demonstrations, the same thing happens in every single demonstration we've done, is that we show a map of Australia and we click on Brisbane and we click on Sydney and we say we would like to use this provider for the connection and we'd like to add in some cloud and all of these sorts of things. And we hit the go button. And everyone we present to says, that's all really nice. You've just ordered it. When does it actually happen? And our answer is it just did. So it takes seconds.
Yeah.
And so software defined, once you software define something, once you're doing things in software, it becomes so much more flexible and easy to build connectivity. Now, people have been building networks in the world now for 30, 40 years. There is lots and lots and lots and lots of network. You don't need to build a whole lot more. You need to coordinate it the way you need it for your business. Our software helps you do that. It helps enterprises manage all of their tech, take out cost and build stuff end to end. But our biggest customers and where we're getting the most traction are telecommunications companies that want to do two things. They on-sell our capability, our networking capability. But what deal we've just completed doing into India is for a startup telecommunications company that is going to be using our software to coordinate all of their technology and all of their business and build stuff end to end for customers from day one. And that, so they're going to, yeah, sorry, James.
And that was acquisition. Which one was that? Did you say?
It's not an acquisition. It's a deal that in the final 24 hours of getting the signature on the deal from the CEO of the company in India. But it's a deal that's going to be worth in excess, we believe, in excess of $1 million for ActivePort. But what that company has seen is that they don't have to go to four or five different software vendors to build their technology environment. They can just use ours.
Okay.
And build everything end to end.
Okay. I've got to ask you because this podcast I've got to release in about half an hour from now, Karim. Is that,
yeah.
That's not market sensitive, is it?
No. That's all right. That's what we're going to be announcing in some media into next week.
Okay.
But no, it's something that I've gone through in a couple of other calls, James. Thank you.
Okay, that's all right. Put it out there. You're letting market sensitive information.
Yeah, in that we are. We have done the deal. Has been mentioned on a couple of other. Presentations we're in the process of finishing the deals and it's a couple of other presentations I've done as well.
That's okay.
So that's fine, James. Thank you for asking.
No worries at all. Well, I mean, it's, I don't want to ruin anyone's surprises that's out there. I'm looking at your numbers here. There's some phenomenal numbers. Your revenues are up. What is it? Software revenue is 29.7% of total revenue, which is up. So software revenue is becoming a bigger part of your business.
Well,
year-to-date revenue was a 52% increase from the first half of 2022 to Q3.
Yeah, so what we've got running is we formed the business out of the core software company and out of a couple of acquisitions that were technical managed service providers. So they are the sort of companies that help companies integrate and build networks, et cetera, but in traditional ways. So we've got a services business which continues to trundle along at better than industry increases from a revenue perspective.
Yep.
We did that so we had a business to run with whilst we were finalizing the work we needed to in sales on our software. And so the software that what I personally have been promising the market since we did our IPO raise, since we did our listing last October, is the software revenue, the high margin monthly reoccurring software revenue is going to turn on. And so what we're able to demonstrate in Q3 is it has turned on. And so we've now got a set of customers in the pipeline delivered generating revenue. And we've gone from, you know, single digit percentage by quarter of software revenue to, as you said, nearly 30.
Mm.
So that's the strategy for the company playing out. That's the we want, we are a software company. We're all about software. We're all about connectivity. Now the software revenue kicks in. The number of customers coming down the pipeline has increased. The number of customers we're turning on has increased. The number of telcos globally we're dealing with has increased. And so it's sort of the pivot moment where the promise became reality, which is it's really, really exciting bit for me.
It does. I'm looking at some research. Some research has been provided to me as well. It's strong growth. It's what 74. Yeah. I'm looking at one from February. The sales growth 74% growth in the quarter.
And so we had some great growth from the services business, but the software piece is the piece that's at the heart of what we do.
Yep.
And it's that's deals like the one I was talking about earlier that, as I said, we hope will turn will be a larger than $1 million deal over the course of the next couple of years. We have signed deals with companies like RadianArk for over $8 million over the course of the contract to do this simplification in software for their really, really complicated gaming platform. And that's being rolled out in our pipeline is 36 telecommunications companies where they're rolling out that software, rolling out that platform built out of our software. So it's started, and it's the proof point that A, the world wants what we're providing, which is that simplicity. But secondly, the software works in a way where companies are going, heck, we need to get involved with these guys. They can take cost out. They can make it more simple, but ultimately make it more simple for our customers. Just because we do everything from that one single pane of glass and take all of that complexity away from some of the really complicated technology.
Okay. Do you have a specific example? I know this is sort of finicky, but like what's a real time? So did you say RadianArk was the deal?
A deal we've done. So if I take a big step back, I'll talk about RadianArk a little bit, but if I take a big step back, one of the key things with ActivePort and the thing that attracted me to the company, I was asked to join the board. I asked to see the software. I saw the software and I immediately asked for a role operationally and was invited to do the CEO role, but it is really pure in its design and the software that is there to coordinate technology. Now, you can coordinate networks, you can coordinate lots of systems, you can coordinate cloud. In the case of RadianArk, what we were asked to do was to create a platform and for our software to connect the telecommunications company, gamers, with game providers, with security options, all on a very, very fast technology platform and make the whole thing turnkey for RadianArk's customers. And so in that example, what our software does is take away all of that complexity from all of the bits that deliver cloud gaming and make it super simple to use. And so that's the deal we've struck, as I mentioned, with RadianArk, which will be in excess of $8 million over the course of the next 5 years.
As you were talking, I was midway through this research report, I was just talking about profitability, and when I'm looking at EBIT, and you're turning profitable according here June 24, so in 2 years' time. So there's a path to profitability, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely, or hopefully earlier.
Yeah.
The results we announced in Q3 also showed a large jump in profitability because the mix moved from services predominantly to being 30%. Really high margin software.
Software, yep.
Yeah, so that swing's occurring as well, and that's what we've planned all along. So profitability by then or even earlier. One of the things with telecommunications companies, and if we talk about, again, the Indian opportunity, is that in India there are 1.12 billion subscribers to telecommunications services.
Mm.
When you get traction in any market, and Australia is actually a very small telecommunications market, which is why we've focused a lot in our overseas work. Traction in those markets, things grow very, very quickly. So we're hoping indeed it'll be a bit earlier than that, but driven by the software, driven by the high margin software.
So any other growth areas that you want us to talk about, Karen?
Yeah, very quickly, the two areas globally that are growing for enterprises are use of cloud and software-defined network.
Use of cloud? Is that the private cloud?
Sorry, using cloud for all of their services. So we've focused in on software-defined networking, which is growing at over 70% annually, and the cloud piece, which is growing at, you know, well over 50% CAGR, and I think will increase. I don't know that for sure, but I think it will increase. So our software can help you coordinate your networks. It can help you coordinate public cloud, things like AWS and Google, but also things like private cloud. And private and public cloud tends to confuse people. The cloud is a ruddy great bunch of servers sitting in a data center. So you can have an enormous bunch of servers sitting in somebody else's data center, or you can have an enormous bunch of servers sitting in yours. The big difference from a cloud perspective is there's lots of software in there automating. Our software can come along and coordinate what you do with Amazon, with your services internally, with your networking internally, and hang the whole thing together for you in a solution. So cloud will continue to grow quickly. Software-defined networking will continue to grow quickly. But the goal of the industry holistically at the moment is make it all simple to use, and we're at the heart of that.
Okay, well, Karen, with nothing else, well, there's 1,000 other things to talk about, but we just don't have the time to get through it today. I know that we've got something to get to, and I've got a few things that I need to take care of as well. But as long as you're happy to go, I'm also happy to go as well. So wrapping it up there, thank you for joining us, Karen.
Thank you, James, and I hope you have a great afternoon.
Oh, it's going to be a great one, mate. I wish the weather was better, but it's fantastic. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about what's next in tech, what's next in the cloud, what's moving, SD-WAN, and also about ActivePort, ATV, the stock code. I don't think the share price is representing where the company should go, and that's not advice, but based on what you've talked about the industry, I think that probably there could be a little bit more buying in this stock that I can see. So I'm going to have a really good dig around on this one myself too. So thank you so much for coming in and talking to us.
Thank you.
No problem. Have a great weekend. Thank you, everyone, for your listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the show, rate us, and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on iTunes at The BIP Show or wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Twitter at @BIP_show, and we're on Facebook too. For some reason, I don't really know yet exactly why we are. But I've got a website. Check it out. Google Whelan Capital. All of the links to everything that we talk about here. I'm going to put some of these research reports up there if you want to know more, a little bit more about ATV. And I suggest you should. Thanks very much for coming on. I'm on Twitter at JamesWhelan42. Karim, I don't know if you're on Twitter. No?
Yes, sir. Not often, but I'm best on LinkedIn and I'm best directly. So my email address is all over the place. If anyone wants to talk to me directly, they're more than fine to come to me directly anytime.
Not a problem at all. I always encourage people, investors, colleagues, clients, anything like that, that they often are puzzled about how they get more information from the company. I said, if you try picking up the phone and actually talking to the people at the company, they love to talk. Yeah. They love to tell the story.
There is lots of ways to get to me via our website. All of our information has my email addresses on it. I enjoy nothing more than this and talking about it. So please, anyone who has any questions, get in contact with me. More than happy to answer any questions you have via email or on call.
Fantastic. That's great. And good to actually have people like on the coalface knowing more about tech and things like that, very much in line with what the BIP Show is all about in this new season. So thanks very much. That's it. The show is produced by drunk monkeys working in their underpants, and we will catch you next time. Have a good one.